B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
How do you like the idea of Brady in Las Vegas?
I think Tom Brady has played this season perfectly. He's maestroed this thing. Every single word that he said, even going back to post-game press conferences after games this season, has been completely cerebral. He asked out of his contract after 20 years, says he wants to control his destiny. Now, anything he does is going to garner conversation. Now, much to the chagrin of Patriots fans, but him talking to Mark Davis, and I had some inside sources that were at the fight watching old Conor McGregor beat the hell out of Cowboy Cerrone. But they said those two were talking for like 20 minutes or so. And I'm not sure what the conversation could have been about. Could have been about a new barber for Mark Davis, maybe. Could have been about how the Raiders have operated, possibly. But I think the much more likely thing is Mark Davis catching a little temperature on what Tom Brady's feeling, how he's thinking. And are the Raiders a potential home for him? New city, new franchise, new stadium. John Gruden would absolutely love and relish that opportunity. Is Tom Brady the perfect fit for the Raiders? I don't think so, but I think the Raiders would very much welcome the opportunity to have the goat on their team.
All right, it's hour number two, Reentry Monday, presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Let's get to the Brady story. A couple different angles here to hit. One is Saturday night in Las Vegas. He's at the Conor McGregor fight, which I stayed up and actually watched. If you can believe it. Gave him a couple shoulders in the nose, then kicked him in the side of the face, and that was it.
40-second fight, and you're done?
It felt like it lasted 15 seconds.
Was it on DAZN?
Yeah, I had to go into... Oh, God, you don't want to go back.
Oh, it's a giant pain in the ass to get this fight.
Recreate what we had to do to figure this thing out. Oh, my God. How? Why? We were dying to give them their money to watch the stupid fight, and you couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. We couldn't figure it out. Oh, my God. Don't get me started with that. That's a whole nother show. We want to give you our $65 or whatever it was. We want to give you. You are ripping us off. $65, $85, whatever it was. To the right to have you rip me off. I'm dying to have you rip me off. And you won't let me do it with your fakakta logins, download. Like, oh, my God. You've got to be kidding me. Oh, ridiculous. It was ridiculous what we had to do. But we did it for about 40 seconds. Anyway, Brady's there talking with Mark Davis, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, for 20 minutes. That's Pat McAfee on ESPN's Get Up show. Pat McAfee says for 20 minutes. Can you imagine talking to anyone for 20 minutes?
No, especially him.
That guy?
Does
Mark Davis have 20 minutes in him?
I mean, I suppose I could talk to him for 20 minutes about his haircut, but other than that, no.
That's what McAfee said. So, but do you think there's something there, Brady, Vegas? If for no other reason than Brady just showing everybody, see, I'm talking to another owner.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Do I think, well, here's what I ultimately think, that the Raiders will be interested. And, you know, do I think the conversation could have, you know, again, whether it was Brady just using them or them making nice with Brady because they want to come to him later on, or maybe the topic actually came up? I don't know. But do I think there's something there with Brady in Vegas? Yes, I do.
Hey, at the very least, I mean, the optics show you that he's posturing. You know, he's showing the Patriots and the world, hey, I'm a free agent for the first time ever. Here is me talking to another NFL owner.
I'm telling you, given the hypersensitivity of tampering, like say in the NBA, you know, I don't think Wick Grosbeck would ever be caught dead talking to Kevin Durant as a free agent at a fight in his free agent offseason.
Right.
Like, I don't think you could do that in the NBA. You'd get slapped. They would do something to you. Even though we know tampering's rampant and everything, but just they try so hard for the perception. I mean, Wick won't even talk about another player, another team.
Sure.
As an owner. You can't even do it. Like, I don't know if Mark Davis opened himself up there a little bit.
Do you think he even knows that exists?
Probably
he does.
Not.
Oh, they're just joshing.
So he probably doesn't know. But, like, that's still, you know, I whether they're talking shop or not, whether they're talking about him going to Las Vegas or not, I think it's the interesting part to me is if Brady is playing the game. See, hey, me in Vegas. Like, I'd have some grudging respect for him if he did, because I don't know if he's always been that guy. I don't know if he's got the stones to do it, to really play the free agent game. And if he's playing the free agent game, you know, tip of the cap to you, Tom. Jason LaConfora on CBS Boston
CBSSports.com.
CBSSports.com, whatever they call it, wrote the following. Well, first of all, do we want Jimmy Stewart's information? Are we allowed to? Is that for public consumption, Stu?
Yeah, please do.
Stu says he talked to a friend about Brady.
That's a connected friend, by the way.
I was going to say, is this your...
That's not just, you know, my friend Steven up the street.
No, he ran into him at the bus stop.
No, right. Like when I read this, I thought this was Brady's friend. No, I talked to a friend about Brady. Yeah, we are all talking to our friends about Brady.
Yeah.
But you're talking to a...
They were putting the kids on the bus.
a friend of a friend who...
Somebody who I trust who is connected to Tom Brady.
In a position to know.
Yeah, what's going on with the GOAT?
This is what Jimmy believes. Vegas, L.A. Chargers, Saints, Indy, Washington, all called on Brady. No Minnesota. No mention of Miami. Brady is not interested in Indy or Washington. So that's what Jimmy hears. Vegas, Chargers, Saints, Indy, Washington have all called on Brady. Interesting.
The Saints was the one that I was like, whoa, okay.
Again, not allowed to do it, but I keep saying if I'm the Patriots, I give them permission to talk to other teams now to get to try and figure this all out now. Yeah. So you can get it all done before March 18. But anything you want to add to that, Stu?
This person also kind of told me, quote, 0% chance Brady comes back to New England, unquote.
0%?
Kind of sort of told you?
Yeah, that's the quote, and I don't know that I fully believe that. But it's worth mentioning.
0% is too low.
Yeah, no, that's definitely worth mentioning. I'm glad we didn't leave that out. Where's my freaking Jason LaConfora story that I pasted onto this thing?
Oh, boy.
God dang it!
Did you send me the fake rundown?
No,
instead of the real rundown?
Yeah, I may have sent you the wrong thing. Stand by. Talk for a second.
Yeah, no problem.
See, Felger has two rundowns.
So, look, the interesting name on the list, like you said, Murray, is New Orleans. New Orleans, is that as a backup plan to Drew Brees, or is that as the first choice?
Well, that's the theory, is Drew Brees is going to retire.
Right. That's what I mean, and I didn't even, you know, hear that.
And Sean Payton's sick of his act.
I didn't hear that from Jimmy until right now, and he was texting me some of this stuff. So when I saw Saints in Jimmy's text, that's what I was like, oh, Brees is going to retire.
Okay, so one other interesting thing, Philip Rivers has moved his entire family to Florida. And we all know how Philip Rivers is, you know, wants to have a tight familial...
Yeah, you get it right.
A unit. He wants to be with his family, close to his family. He commuted back and forth from San Diego to L.A. the last couple of years because he wanted to keep his family together in the house. So the fact that the family's in Florida is telling, okay? So there's something up with Philip Rivers and where he's going to play next year, and is it one of those Florida teams? And is that a tip-off? Here's what LaConfora writes on CBS Sports. For the first time in his NFL career, Tom Brady is prepared to discuss a future with teams beyond the Patriots, sources said. And for the first time since he took over as a starter nearly two decades ago, the Patriots are unsure of who will be under center in 2020. He says it would be extremely surprising if Brady were to agree to any new pact with the Patriots prior to the start of free agency in March, I'm told. And while his process could still result in a return to New England, it is far from certain at this point. Brady intends to take a methodical approach to his first foray into free agency, as at age 42, this will be the final chapter of his playing career. So he says it's highly unlikely that he would sign in New England before March 18th, before he would hit the market. This is a great paragraph here that I found interesting. Brady is also eager to take on the role of mentor to a young quarterback, no matter where he plays, hoping to leave any organization in good shape when he retires. Part of his legacy, he believes, could be tied to seeing future generations embrace the TB12 training and lifestyle regimen that Brady strongly believes has helped him play so long at such a high level. Okay, so your thoughts. Why are you smirking?
Because is it about the next guy or is it about TB12?
Bingo. Also, though, that opens him up to all sorts of different teams. So again, he's willing to play the role of mentor to a young quarterback no matter where he plays, hoping to leave. So that means there's a bunch of teams with good young quarterbacks that we say they wouldn't be interested, but if that quarterback is willing to, well, the quarterback has no choice. If the team is willing to sit that young player for a year or two, Brady's willing to mentor him, and then on top of that, mentor him under TB12 and make him like the face the young modern face in the NFL of TB12. Well, that works for everybody. So sure. Now that opens up Giants. It opens up Jets. It opens up Bears.
Right.
It opens up Broncos. It opens up name a team with a young quarterback who they like, but you could sit behind Brady for a year or two. And if you can get that young guy to become the face of TB12, the young face of TB12, well, there's a standard bear for Brady. Now Brady invests in that young player. Now Brady really invests in that young player, because if that young player succeeds, he carries the brand, and boom, there you go. There's your game plan. Everyone is sort of covered. Everyone gets something out of that. That makes a tremendous amount of sense for me, and very smart by Brady.
Very smart.
Because that increases the number of teams that he would be viable on now.
No question, right? Because you're bringing him in as a you know, almost as another coach as much as you are a quarterback. Like, it is. It's brilliant.
Because there are teams, like Denver's a good one. You know they liked
Drew Lock.
Drew Lock, and thank you. But, you know, Elway would like to go. All Elway has done is sign old quarterbacks. So, you know, Elway would do it in a heartbeat. That's another good place for TB12, the Colorado, and all the health-conscious people out there. You make Drew Lock a standard bearer of TB12. You put him on the program. You play quarterback for a year or two. They develop Drew Lock, blah, blah, blah. Like, that makes a tremendous amount of sense to me.
Yeah, look, it might also, give a team like the Chargers, even, if you're going to draft a quarterback and sign me, you do both. Bring him in, you give him 2 years under me, and then when I leave, he's ready to go. Like, the Chargers are already on the list, but it's a smart move by Brady.
Of course, you have that here. You have that here, but all Brady has basically done to the young quarterbacks underneath him here in Foxborough is show them his ass. Is pretty much all he's done. Taking what has felt like, and I'm not blaming him. I know it sounds like it. It's not his job to mentor a young quarterback. I do think it's his job to mentor young receivers. That's a different story, but it's not his job to get Garoppolo up to speed to take his job. The competition part of it, I don't hold against Brady, but has he shown any inclination to mentor these young guys here in New England?
No.
So, he could. He's got a TB12 right here. He's got two locations here in the Boston area.
You wouldn't know from the downtown Boston one.
Jimmy.
What are you saying, Stu?
It's not doing well business-wise, according to people I talk to.
I didn't think it would. I don't know how it could, frankly. I think it's a failed model, but just work with me. If he's still into it, if he's still thinking it's going to work, he could make it work here. This is where his brand carries the biggest weight. His name carries the biggest weight. They have a young quarterback on the roster he could be grooming. They could draft another guy this year who he could groom, have him be the – he could do everything I've just described here. And why do I think that that's not in the cards here?
Because Boston's not big enough.
It's not big enough?
Mm-mm.
But Denver is?
I also think the personality of the city comes into play.
Yeah, he knows the slobs around here aren't really going to go there and spend their money on that.
I was trying to be nicer about it. I just think that if you're going to really launch a business to take it global, that sort of business, you're going to do it in Boston. Again, I said this about Super G. I might as well say it about Brady. He wouldn't wipe his butt with this city. Like, this is it. Tom Brady's thinking way bigger than Boston. Way bigger. If TB12 is what he wants. If he wants to win championships and Super Bowls and keep doing that, then he'll stay here. If he still wants to play football. But if it's about something else now, or at least it's a bigger part of the equation.
If it's about promoting the brand, then yeah, he's thinking elsewhere.
Oh, L.A., New York, again, you go to those places. Boston, please. He wouldn't spit and wipe his feet on Boston if he's launching TB12.
He should start offering Bud Light in the lobby if he wants.
You want me to drink how much water? I'll have Bud Lights. I get cheese and crackers like the nines, too, at that place.
Yeah, I'll take a slice of pizza.
Vegas.
Vegas, Jimmy?
Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas is my new Miami.
It's got to be somewhere like that has sunshine.
What do you mean work with
even
bands?
Denver. Denver has sunshine.
That mean like Aerosmith? Then I'd be into it. Then I'll work with bands. Like, it's not a fit for here. It's just not.
Okay. More on Brady and your thoughts after these words.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
You continue to dominate the news around the National Football League. You've had a couple of weeks now to decompress. Are you coming to grips with the realistic possibility that perhaps you might play for another team, and are you willing to do that?
Well, like you said, it's only been a couple weeks, and you know, I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks, and just decompressing from the season and spending time with them. So I've said earlier, I'm open-minded about the process, and you know, at the same time, I'm, you know, I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead, whatever the future may bring. I'll embrace it with open arms. And in the meantime, I'm going to watch these two games today as a fan and enjoy them from my couch.
Couch potato Tom Brady. Won't be a potato, probably avocado.
That's right. Either one. Something healthy, baby.
I've got jokes. Couch potato Tom Brady. Except it'll probably be an avocado, won't it, Tom? Or a vibrating egg, eh, Tom? An eggplant, Tom? Eggplant emoji, because I'm thinking about you. Where are you going, Tom? Tell us. The people want to know.
So creepy. Brady doesn't eat potatoes. Give me a break. No, sure. The amount of carbs in there?
We know he drinks, though. He was loaded the other night.
Yeah, he seemed a little bit lit.
Based on what?
I'll show it to you during the break. There's one, I think it might have been a TMZ video or something. There's a video floating out there that it's someone, I think, trying to do a selfie video with him where he's kind of slurring his words and he looks a little like,
it's a Snapchat promoting ESPN and he's just sloshed to the gills.
Yeah. All right, well, good. He's allowed to get at for it every once in a while.
Hell yeah.
Maybe it's related to just one little thing percolating there about Brady, and I don't know how much stock to put into it. Did we ever figure out if that magazine cover is real?
We don't know. So I found this initially by, I follow this guy on Instagram, the Spike King. He's like a Patriots super fan who's got this big presence on Instagram, and he posted this yesterday, and it's Life and Style magazine, where it says like Trouble in Paradise, Giselle and Brady, and you know, divorce on the way, and she hates it here, $600 million divorce nightmare. And I sent it to all of you guys, and I was like, well, from my understanding, reading this kid's caption when he posted it, this is going to be coming out this week on newsstands.
So I don't know how much stock to put into this.
So last year they wrote a story saying that the couple was happy, everything was great.
I was just going to say, this is the same publication that a year ago said Giselle and Brady never happier. We know there was, I don't know if there was this magazine or another one. It's one of these, you know, grocery store tabloids that are right there. It's called Life and Style. I don't know. But there were other tabloid reports a couple of years ago, Marriage on the Rocks, you know, whatever. So I have no idea if it's right or not. And I have no idea if it's even authentic or not. But
it's on the internet, so I think it's true.
Right, so, love me a good dirt sheet.
It would explain a lot, though. But anyway, keep going.
Well, so this magazine could be hitting the stands this week with, you know, and again, these reports have gone back and forth in these stupid magazines. So,
$600 million divorce nightmare.
Anyway, if there is something to that, I think the family consideration is a big factor. In other words, in my mind's eye, if the Brady unit is together, family unit, all living together, you know, et cetera, like they've been doing in Brookline the last several years, I would say no way does he go to a place like Tennessee. Giselle's not going to move there. Then I could put the kids in school there. Like, no. No, no, no. I just don't see Brady in Nashville or Chicago or Vegas, for crying out loud. Like, I don't see, no. If they're a unit, like, no. But if they're not, and Brady's sort of flying in anyway from wherever he is to wherever she is, and they're sort of leading separate lives.
If you're a divorced dad, what's it matter? You can live anywhere.
I think it opens the whole thing up. Then I totally see him as a Nashville, you know, in Tennessee. I could totally see that. I could totally see him like almost anywhere. Maybe not Indy, but I mean, you know what I mean? I could never see the Brady family unit moving to Tennessee. But if they were leading separate lives and Brady lives there and then go, like, I could totally see that. I think it opens it up for him.
Definitely. Look, I mean, as a football player in season, you're a transient anyway. A lot of guys, you know, they train in their places. Don't get me wrong, but hell, you could live in one place during the season and live in another in the off season.
Okay, so I'm just, you know, and again, I don't know how much stock to put into that stuff. It's just tabloid stuff. That magazine's gone back and forth on a bunch of different things. Who knows? But if you see that in the newsstand this week, you know, that's...
Oh, I have my eyes out for it. As soon as I see it, I'm buying it.
That's what we're talking about.
Fights, lies, and separate bedrooms.
To which I say, that's not divorce, that's marriage. Like, what's the problem? Lies, separate bedrooms, nothing he does is good enough. That was the headline. You know, nothing he does is ever good enough.
Right, I'm not even married a year and we're already in separate bedrooms because I snore too much.
I'm like, what's the problem? Right. This sounds right to me. This ain't... That ain't divorce. That's marriage.
Nothing he ever did was good enough. Well, yeah.
No kidding.
Okay.
Right. Anyway. All right. So back to your phones. As promised, we've got Betsy in Maine. Go ahead, Betsy.
Hi, Mike. I understand that the Bradys are moving to Connecticut.
You do understand that?
Yeah, I read it on Yahoo, and that that so that he could be closer to the Jets and the Giants and possibly Philly. And meanwhile, Giselle's skybox at Gillette has been cleaned out, pretty much douched and sanitized, so that means that she probably will not ever be returning there. What do you think about this?
Okay, Betsy. I think once you douche the suite, man, it's over. That's it. That's the last straw.
That's what I would describe as an explicit description of what went on in that suite.
Clean as a whistle, I'll never be back.
Betsy, thank you for the update. Keep us posted, okay?
Clean it with vinegar?
I want to hear the very latest. How they're cleaning out that suite. I do, you know what, but even just the posturing to me is interesting because I think Brady's a wuss when it comes to this. You know, we had the thing last week where...
I mean, I'm sorry, Mike. He's not stupid. To go to Vegas and be photographed with the owner of the Raiders...
Good job.
So, like...
Play the game. At least play the game.
So, like, you know, again, Brady knows what that looks like, even if it's nothing happened. He knows what it looks like. He's no fool.
Brady watched day 16. Is that 58 days until the contract expires? That graphic is so fuzzy. Yeah.
58.
Yes, it is. 58 days until the contract
expires. It's HD, it's clear.
Not to me, it's not. Dave and Malden, go ahead, Dave.
Brady is making a business decision, and that decision on one end is winning. So you're talking about going to teams with talent, teams with coaching, teams that have a chance and that type of thing. On the other end is cash. He doesn't seem to just want the cash. So somewhere in the middle is this profile thing. Where does it work for me and my family and my TB12 and all that stuff? So, you know, it's a chance to market TB12 and all that. Yeah, I get it, guys. But winning is the thing for this guy, to me, if he's going to continue at all. Because he may just say, you know what, I'm all done, see you later. I don't think he's coming back to the Pats. And what I find fascinating that I want to hear from you guys is this whole Belichick and Kraft thing.
Hey, Dave.
Belichick saw this a few years ago. That's why the whole Jimmy G thing happened now. Talk about the leverage that Belichick now has with Kraft saying, see, Bob, see, I told you.
Okay, but in the meantime, they went to 3 Super Bowls. So, like, they both got something out of it.
If winning is the thing that matters, why is he leaving?
So I was going to say, if winning's the number one priority, where does he go?
He stays with Bill.
Agreed.
He stays with Bill, and he does what he's done over the last 20 years, which is show some level of faith that they're actually going to put the pieces around him. I'm not so sure that that's what the priority is anymore. Again, when we read that story a couple of weeks ago about... You know, the idea of, think of him in terms of the way you would think about an NBA superstar. That a guy who's, he's not ring chasing.
Right.
He's on the market. He's not ring chasing.
He clearly doesn't want to suck. You know, so if a team is just hopeless, I think that would hurt them.
Sure.
But if the team is reasonably competitive and he thinks he makes them better and they're a competitive team that can contend... I think that's all he would be looking for.
Yes, right. It's a good way to put it. He doesn't want to suck. But if the team has talent, this is Tom Brady we're talking about. He's looking at it saying, I can work with that. We can get there. Like, to me, I'm just not so sure that is the number one priority anymore, the winning part of it.
Tony in Holbrook, what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question. Who do you think, personally, the NFL has a preference over? Winning the Super Bowl, the 49ers or the Chiefs?
It doesn't matter.
I would say Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs.
Doesn't matter.
Because of Mahomes.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it's anything they can do to pump up Mahomes. You know, if you were to say to me there's a bias, I'm not saying they're going to fix the game, but if there's a bias one way or the other, I think they'd rather have Mahomes be a Super Bowl champion.
I mean, I think you're right about that, but I'd still say it's going to get the same TV ratings. They're going to make the exact same amount of, you know, it's not like the NBA where you need the superstars and you need the marquee names and those guys have to win and they have to be there at the end. Like those leagues are dependent on that. Football's not.
If they want one thing, they want a more entertaining game than last year. Now, I liked it, but I understand that most of the rest of the world hated last year's
Super Bowl.
Well,
I think you're going to get that this year.
I mean, Mahomes is the guy. I think he's the clear winner from the conference championship weekend and it's his league and it's his time and all of that. All of that. But I think it's that way whether he wins or loses this game, frankly. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more. back to your calls in a second. First, the Rodenheiser take with Maz.
Yep. Hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to rodenheiser.com to learn more. Just out of curiosity, where were you at the beginning on this Brady stuff? In other words, did you think you thought he was going to retire, right? You still feel that way?
I mean, I'm not going to sign any paperwork to change the official take because it still has a chance to happen. I'm rooting for him to go somewhere else. I'm rooting for this whole Brady watch. I'd love it. I want it. I need it. So, but I'm not going to officially change my prediction because it hasn't been proven wrong yet. So, so I will still say, for the sake of take integrity, it's still retirement. He wants to play somewhere else. He's going to look to play somewhere else. He's going to get offered a dog food offer here or somewhere really, you know, something really good somewhere else. And at the end, he won't have the guts to go play somewhere else. And he won't go work for the dog food, and he'll say that's it.
Okay, so I think he's going to play. And at the beginning, I thought he's gone. They're not going to pay him. He's going to find a place that's better, and he's, you know, he's going to ultimately sign with another team. And then a couple of Fridays ago, Chris Gasper was in here and indicated that maybe there was a bit of a softening on the Brady side, mm-hmm. out of the Brady camp. And I thought, well, geez, maybe he is going to come back. Now I'm back to thinking he's gone again. And you know what? Typically what I do in this sort of case, because this is what these things are, these negotiations, there's going to be a little piece of news all the time, every day along the way for the full 74 days, and you're going to oscillate. And then inevitably, I was taught, go with your first instinct. And my first instinct is he's played his last game in New England. So that's where I'm staying. And I know all this stuff's going to come out, and I want to hear it all. I want to hear it all. But I think at the end of the day, they're not going to pay him, and he's not going to back down.
So apparently that magazine is real. It is out on the stands right now.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people tweet to me, said that they've seen it at CVS and on newsstands. So
okay.
As soon as the show ends tonight, I'm going to buy it.
So it's a fact, whether it's, I mean, I just take it with a heavy grain of salt. But if it is true, I think that's a big factor. I think it really frees him up to play wherever he wants. If he's going to be helicoptering in either way, then he can totally, then I think it just totally opens up the whole playing field for him to go play somewhere else. So anyway, back to your thoughts. John in Marbo, you're up next with Felger and Maz here on a Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Go ahead, John.
Oh, God, I'm so sick of listening to you freaking clowns. First of all, talking about Brady wiping his ass with Boston, he's been here for 20 years. He's not Roethlisberger. He's not Favre. He's been a great ambassador to the city, and I've never met him. I don't know anybody who met him. I don't know a guy who knows a guy who knows him. It's been a fantastic run, and he's done nothing but been, you know, up and up, an outstanding guy. The other thing, Maz, you just said it, talking about Kyrie Irving. Making reference to Martin Luther King. I don't want to get into that because we've got better things to talk about. Are you kidding me? Better things to talk about than that damn moron making references, equating him and Martin Luther King. But we're going to talk about Tom Brady in Greenwich, Connecticut, and you're going to go up and down creating these ridiculous narratives of falsehoods that you keep perpetuating over and over every day until you turn it into a truth. But this moron talks about MLK and equating that, and you've got better things to talk about. You've got nothing better to talk about than that freaking moron down in Brooklyn.
Okay, John. Thanks for the call. Good anchor.
If I said better things to talk about, then I take it back. I think I said we're talking about other things.
Well, I don't take it back. I mean, the Kyrie Irving thing's a self-evident truth. We're going to whack away at the pinata?
So
I'd rather tweak a guy like John and Marbro. That's 10 times more interesting. Right. So, yes, John, I have better things to talk about than Kyrie Irving comparing himself to the hardships of Martin Luther King. Yep, I do.
And, John, I wouldn't, if you took that as an indictment or an insult at Tom Brady, you obviously heard it wrong. What I would tell you was an insult and an indictment of you, is what I would say. That you and the city of Boston are not important enough to be any more than a pimple on Brady's ass. At the end of the day, he has treated the city extremely well. I'm not saying he hasn't. He's got way bigger fish to fry. Bigger.
Mike is in California joining us next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to start this conversation by saying that I am a Patriots fan all day. I live up here in Northern California now. But I'm seeing, like, you know, what's going on with Jimmy G out here and the whole team. Let me make this. The Niners, he threw the ball 8 times, and they got 37 points. So that 1.5 in the Super Bowl, that's a joke. I mean, like, I think they're going to crush Kansas City. I just don't see anything other. Like,
yeah, I don't see any crushing. I think Mahomes is too good to get crushed.
Yeah, the 1.5, I was surprised too. I thought it was a little low. A little. I thought it was a field goal game.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
I mean, I thought Kansas City would be favored by a little bit more.
It's San Francisco's favorite.
No, no.
No, Kansas City's favored by 1.5.
Casey's minus 1.5.
I had it backwards. Oh, all right.
It was pick minus 1. It's sort of, it feels like it's creeping like the early money's on Kansas City.
Because it was 1 initially, and now it's 1.5.
I thought it was immediately a pick, but either way, so I'm sure you get different numbers at different places. But KC, it's been picked to KC.
Okay, so I had it backwards. I thought it was 1.5 the other way. And I'm telling you, I think San Francisco's a field goal favorite. I think San Francisco's the more complete team. So typically in these sorts of games, number one offense-ish against number one defense-ish, right. I take the defense.
No, it's true. That's historical. Can Garoppolo and the Niners keep up with Mahomes if he has a game?
Yep. They can.
Oh, what, like the last couple weeks? Oh, that's what I'm hoping for.
San Francisco is going to be able to run the ball in this game. And that's going to set up all kinds of passing, and I don't know how the Chiefs are going to cover.
Do we know that when the Chiefs held Derrick Henry to 69 yards yesterday?
I think Henry was running the ball fine, and I think they stopped running.
Well, I think they stopped running because they got down double score. They got down two scores.
Yeah, I thought they stopped running the ball too early.
But don't you also think, I mean, I'm still surprised Henry ran on the Patriots like he did. But to me, I mean, I think you should be able to stop any running game if you just commit to it. I mean, you can. Like, that's not even a, I don't even think. I know. It's a fact. That's what made the Packers thing yesterday all the more pathetic. Is that they never sold out to put the ball in Garoppolo's hands. Pathetic coaching. Pathetic. But don't you think San Francisco's run game is tougher than Tennessee's run game?
Yes.
I mean, there's different guys. They pressure the edge more. There's more speed. There's more explosiveness.
Absolutely.
There's more scheme to it. I mean, I'm not sure what kind of running scheme Tennessee has other than they've got a good offensive line and a moose for a running back. Then in San Francisco, they got guys pulling all over the place and creating extra running lanes and mismatch advantages and different guys to give it to and their speed and they pressure the edge. Like, San Francisco is a tougher running game to defend, I think.
And more weapons in the pass game. So, like, I just think the play action possibility, but San Francisco is going to score in this game. Whether they're going to score enough to beat Kansas City, I don't know. But I'm telling you, I like the over and I would take the Niners.
Long commercial-free segment comes your way next.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
If he's sitting back and assessing all of his options, does Vegas make sense to you?
Hell no. It's L.A. It's the Chargers. It's a young team, super talent. We talked about Tom Brady not having enough guys around him. And don't you for 1 second think Giselle don't want to be on the West Coast. She's been up there in New England, cold as hell. All right, she's a model. All her friends live in California. We all know that. Her and Tom Brady look like the state of California. If you had to take two people and said, this is the example of how California looks, it'll be Giselle and Tom Brady. That's where they need to go, to L.A., so they can relax and join. And look, Tom Brady wants to go have fun. Everybody talks about these Super Bowls. Yes, great. It's fun. He's been in New England. He's been the guy. It ain't fun in New England. Talk to any New England player. They ain't having fun. Winning.
It's the Patriot way.
The Patriot way. He want to go to L.A. to the beach. That's where Giselle want to be. Take her there, Tom. Take Giselle to the damn beach.
It's Marcus Spears on ESPN. Entertaining commentary anyway. Continue with your thoughts on the Tom Brady latest, of which there were some developments over the weekend, and the NFL Championship weekend. We'll reset our thoughts on that coming up. In fact, Martin and Auburn will take us back to one of the items on the table as well. Martin, go ahead on Aaron Rodgers. What do you think?
Hey, guys. Aaron Rodgers has been the starting quarterback for a long time now, and won Super Bowl, never, you know, misses the playoffs and whatnot, and I'm just kind of wondering at what point are they going to begin to notice the underachievement? And he's basically a more talented version of Philip Rivers. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's the category. Now, I'd take him over Philip Rivers, but he's in that group of player. He deserves to be debated among Philip Rivers more than he deserves to be debated among Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So, and I think so that, you know, he's been overrated in that regard.
Quick question. Just because
I'm the Packers, I draft a guy this year. If I'm the Packers, I draft a guy this year and start the clock on Rodgers, just like you started on Favre. Start the clock. Try and get his attention. See if the guy can possibly set his feet and just throw the ball.
Maybe it gooses him like Garoppolo did right to Brady.
Like a normal human being, maybe. I don't know. And in the short term or the long term, whatever, you start developing your next guy. Draft a guy and put him behind Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is Favre at the end. It's the exact same crap. It's the exact same crap. It's unbelievable.
So I was just going to say, Favre won two, right?
One.
No, one.
He only won one?
Yeah.
He went to the second. Okay. And that's when Elway got him.
So I was just going to say, then he's Favre. That's what he is.
He's, I mean, frankly, Favre went to two. Rodgers has only gone to one. So, yes, that's who he deserves to be compared to.
I mean, I put him in that bracket. Yes. He's not there with Brady and Manning no. and those guys. No. And
his last three playoff losses, the Packers have a total of 6 first-half points. That's, I mean, it's the slow starts. It was like a no-show yesterday. That's what blew my mind.
No-show. Of which he's a part of it. His energy level, his, I don't know. To have the ball hit the ground on a missed exchange and to just stand there.
Watch that play. I put it on my Twitter.
It's pathetic.
I'm telling you. And watch him walk off the field.
So I don't think he would have gotten it. It was on the other side of the line. But you just can't stand there. You just can't stand there and look at it. It wasn't as bad as the Cam Newton thing, which he, you know, should have had if he had gone for it. Rodgers wasn't going to get this. But you can't.
He didn't even try.
You can't just stand there. And I'll say this. He stood around before it went to the other side of the line. In other words, it might have been there for him to recover, but he still wouldn't recover it because he never made the effort to do it.
He wasn't engaged in the game. He wasn't engaged in it. When you lose a snap in the NFC Championship game, your instinct should be to dive on the ball. That's what your instinct should be. He stood up and watched.
Just
he
brutal.
Stood up and watched the play.
Tom and Quincy on the Chiefs, I think. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, there's been so many things that have come up while I was waiting to get on. Betsy from Maine's sick. I love it. But real quick, Kyrie's the most insufferable DB in the history of sports. There's Betsy from Maine. Jonna Northborough is pissed. And the Chiefs game, I was kind of surprised, guys, because I didn't think they'd be able to stop Derrick Henry's defense ain't that great. And I think they kept him to under 4 yards a carry. And I think, and I may be wrong, but just my opinion is that based on Tyrann Mathieu, because he is an animal and he plays a hell of a lot bigger than he is. And I think he laid out Corey Davis, I don't know, at least twice. And then he laid out another guy, all open field, clean hit, one-on-one. He's a badass. And I think that he's going to come into play with the way that the 49ers play. Kittle cutting across the middle, running backs going out to catch passes in the flat. That kid's roaming around. He is a bad man, and I think that that could be a very big thing for the Chiefs to actually get past the 49ers.
Kansas City's defense better than we give it credit for?
I mean, it's improved. I don't know if it's good. It's improved. I would put it in the category of average at best. And I still think San Francisco's got a lot to defend. You know, just between the ability to run the ball and all the weapons, there's a lot to defend there. That's a lot for the Chiefs. Again, Tennessee put up 17 points quick in that game. And their offense is pretty one-dimensional. So I think that the Niners are going to be able to score. I like the over in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I do too. That multi-dimensional run game is going to give them problems. But they have the Chiefs' defense has been good over the last 2 months. Like, it's not just a couple of weeks that they put it together. They've, like, figured it out under Spagnuolo.
Mary Manchester, what do you think?
Hi, guys. So I'm fascinated with the matchup, and I was wondering whether or not you thought that Belichick was would rather see Jimmy G win or his good friend Andy Reid, who's Jimmy never G. won our Super Bowl.
Jimmy G, Mary. It's not even close.
Well, what about the flip side? Do you think that Brady would be rooting against Jimmy G?
Yep. I mean, just it plays out on this show on a daily basis. The Brady crew, why do you think they're so anti-Garoppolo? Because the Bradys are anti-Garoppolo. And because Bill is pro-Garoppolo. It all plays out in front of you. The agendas are so transparent, Mary. It's so easy to see these guys. As opposed to those of us who just tell it like it is. That's why you tune into Felger and Mass. Because you got the guys who just tell it like it is. But the guys who are contaminated by the Brady thing, it becomes obvious.
No, it is. I'm transparent with it. I'm pro-Brady. Anti-Bill. So F Garoppolo. I hope he gets exposed in a couple of weeks in Miami.
But back to my previous caller made a good point. Bill is going to be sexting with Jimmy the next couple of weeks like you read about. And Bill's going to be helping it. Bill likes the Shanahans. He's tight with the Shanahans. Remember when he traded Garoppolo to Yeah, Jimmy's got a good coach.
Yeah, we actually pulled the sound. This is how good Bill is. He didn't just nail it on Garoppolo, but he knew he was sending him to the right place. This was 3.5 years. What was the trade?
17. October 31st, 2017.
Yeah, little more than 2 years ago.
2.5 years ago. Go ahead.
We completed the trade papers with San Francisco, and so let's make a couple comments on this situation. First of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us. 49ers are getting a good player. They're getting a good person, and they're getting a great teammate.
Oh, my God. Can you stop?
They're getting a good quarterback.
Do you have any boner sound effects?
The diving boy.
You know what I mean? Like,
good player.
God.
Great person.
Does he ever do this for anyone?
No. Please. He sent Richard Seymour and Logan Mankins out of town, who gave this city way more good years of service.
It was a two-sentence statement.
Yeah, on a piece of paper that he then wiped his nose with and threw it in the trash. Seriously, blew snot on that thing, and that was the end of those guys.
This one, if you listen closely, you can actually hear him unbuckling as he's doing this. Go ahead.
And they're getting a great teammate. And they're getting a good quarterback. Jimmy's getting a good coach.
Jimmy's getting a good coach.
I'm telling you,
Jimmy's getting a good coach.
When does Bill care? When Bill shipped Michael Bennett's ass out of here, did he say, "Oh, he's going to a good place"? Like, did he give two poops about where
Jimmy's getting a good coach.
Where Michael Bennett was going?
No, the answer, by the way, is 3.5 minutes long. That's just a 30-second clip.
He did the opposite. He sent him to a place with a bad coach and a team that had talent that couldn't figure it out.
You're saying
he
that one? Him. The one answer was 3.5 minutes?
That is correct.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I remember it. He went on and on and on. I remember thinking, holy crap. And again, the line that stood out to me more than any other, Jimmy's got a good coach. Since when does that matter when you're trading a guy?
Good God. So
that's a consideration we have to take. We probably had, in my opinion, the best quarterback situation in the league for the last, call it 2.5 years. It's just not sustainable given the way that things are set up.
Owner.
It's definitely not something that we wanted to walk away from, and I felt like we rode it out as long as we could.
Oh, the poor man's heartbroken.
We, over a period of time, explored every option possible to try to sustain it.
Trading Tom.
But
he's crying there.
He's crestfallen. But Robert wouldn't let
just,
me.
At this point,
I got overruled.
Felt like we had to make a decision.
Oh.
My hand was forced.
It's a very complex situation on multiple levels.
2 more minutes left.
And this is really the last window.
This is like, okay, you can stop. This is like his Jets press conference.
Yeah.
this is how overworked he is about this thing.
Yeah, no, he went on for 3 minutes about it. Yeah. But ask him why he went for it, why he decided to punt instead of, going for a touchdown.
Do a test for the team.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a lot of Finn around here.
Seriously.
Oh my God, that sound is so good. Oh, he was so pissed. And he loved Jimmy so much. And then the reports came out that he would text him after every game that first year before he got hurt. So you better believe, as my guy Bernie said, you better believe that Bill will be sexting the old eggplant emojis to Jimmy Garoppolo this week and will be whatever he can do to help the Shanahans this week. Guess who's a Niners fan this week? Not just Maz. As you can see here on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, we have Maz sporting the shirtless Jimmy Garoppolo t-shirt. But Bill Belichick's right there with you this week, Maz. You better believe it.
Bill would FaceTime with him, naked. Seriously, be rubbing himself with Crisco the whole time, for crying out loud.
We reset our top thoughts on NFL championship weekend right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
Jimmy's getting a good...